the pastor of this church, and it's a privilege for me. And the last few weeks, I've kind of been laid up after a shoulder surgery, and it has become even more clear to me what a privilege it is to be in your lives and to be a part of this community. So I'm very grateful for those of you that have blessed our family, have blessed me, checked in on me, brought meals, prayed for me, just been awesome to our family in this time. My wife now knows how hard it is to take care of me, and you made it easier for her along the way, so I say thank you on her behalf as well. I'm super excited to be able to start this series today. I didn't want to stay out any longer on Sunday mornings because I wanted to be with you as we began this journey through the book of Philippians. It's a letter that was written by a person to a group of people for some reasons, and we're going to dive into that starting today. There's a quote that I read when I was recuperating as I was rereading a book, one of my favorite books called Body Politics by John Howard Yoder. And if you can bring that quote up for me, Jonathan, bring it up for us. It says this: the people of God is called today to be what the world is called to be ultimately. If you know me at all, you know this is one of my deepest convictions. I believe with all of my heart that we are citizens of a kingdom, that there is a culture of that kingdom, there is a power in that kingdom, there is a pride in that kingdom, there is a privilege and an honor and dignity to be a part of this kingdom called the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where his reign and rule just is showering over us as we are immersed in. And I believe that the people that he blesses, lavishes us with his love to be called his kids, that it is our privilege. It is our privilege to live out the culture of this kingdom, not just for ourselves, but for the world around us. It's our honor and our privilege to embrace and live the good news. Again, not just for ourselves, but for the world around us. And I believe that one day, I believe the Bible is clear about this, that one day, all of the world will have the opportunity to live in that culture, live in that kingdom, have an opportunity to submit to his reign and his loving rule in our lives. And I was reminded of this once again by John Howard Yoder. And I can't think of another book in the Bible, another letter by Paul even, that captures what it means to live this life, to live today what the whole world will be like one day. And so we're going to dive into this book, Philippians. Brad mentioned that it's a book filled with joy. You're going to fall in love with Paul. If you've never read him before, if you've never encountered him, this is by far the most generous, loving, joyful letter that you will read in Scripture, and we're going to dive into it today. Now, I must admit that I am what I am. I'm not all that I will be. I'm a little still low on the energy, and so we're going to do something that most of the time speakers are not really supposed to do. We're going to watch a long video. It's maybe about 9 minutes long, so everybody look at me. No falling asleep. It's actually a pretty cool video, and it's an overview of the entire letter to the Philippians, and we want you to pay attention to this overview today. You should have received, when you came in, a piece of paper that is essentially our encouragement to you to encounter this letter for yourself over and over again while we are in this series. So we recommend that you read it every week with us, and there's some suggested reading structure in here and some guidelines for just some ways to reflect on it on the back of this page. But we want you to encounter this overview this morning so you know how cool this letter is and how important it is for us to immerse ourselves in it. So I am going to sit down for a minute, catch my breath, and we're going to see this video together. I really want you to pay attention to it. It's very well done, but more than that, I really want you to see where Paul takes us, where the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in this time over the next several weeks. Can we do it? No falling asleep. Roll it.
Paul's letter to the Philippians. The church story is told in Acts chapter 16. Philippi was a Roman colony in ancient Macedonia.
That knowing Jesus is always a deeply personal, transforming encounter. That's the kind of Jesus that Paul invites others to follow. And that's what Paul's letter to the Philippians is all about.
What'd you think? Pretty good overview. If you would like to see that again as you're reading this for yourself throughout the next few weeks, the link for that is going to be on our website in our sermon area. And for those of you that aren't here today, are going to be listening online, you can check out the same video by clicking on the link as well. How'd I do? That was pretty good, talking to people that aren't even here yet. Can you see why I'm so stoked about this letter? There's so much in it that's important for us. And I want to return to this, to the quote that the people of God is today. And by the way, that might sound a little funny for you grammatically, but it's very much written correctly. The people of God, singular, we are to be the ones that ultimately we look like what the whole world is going to look like. And this letter points us in that direction over and over and over again. And if you don't get anything more than that, you're doing pretty well. But I hope you fall in love with Paul. I hope you fall in love with the way that he talks about us, the church. He's talking about a specific church in Philippi, but he's revealing to us, if he were here with us today, he'd be saying the same things. I can say the same things about you as well, right? When I had surgery, two surgeries in the last several weeks, you guys came to me, and I've been imprisoned in a easy chair in my living room, and you've visited and you fed me and my family. So I have very much an affinity for how Paul describes his friends in Philippi, and I feel the same way about you. Now, we're going to dive into this text, and we're not going to cover every word because you're going to be reading those on your own, but we want to, from week to week, just kind of platform some things through this letter to excite you, to sharpen your insight so that you can see yourself in this story as well. You ready? All right. We're going to start with Philippians 1:1, and you can see it here behind me, and I'm just going to read it and stop along the way to point a few things out. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold it there. This is a letter, right? So this is the opening letter, dear sir or madam, but the openings of letters back then customarily around that part of the world were something like this. It was a statement of who the person was writing and sort of an immediate positioning of themselves in relationship to the people that would be reading it. And normally in Paul's letters, if you know them and you read them, these introductions start off with Paul the Apostle, right? He's proclaiming himself as one who is sent by Jesus out into the world to bring the gospel, to bring the good news, and to help start communities of God's kingdom living together that we call churches. Philippi is one of them, as you heard in the video. But in this particular letter, he doesn't say, I'm an apostle. He doesn't proclaim, he doesn't claim that status. Instead, he calls himself something else, and he brings his buddy Timothy along. And Timothy, this is another reason I love this letter, that he brings someone that he's been walking with. Timothy is someone that's been learning the life of Jesus from Paul and from the communities that Paul has been developing. So Timothy is like his protege, right? It's his associate that's coming along, his partner in this ministry. Paul and Timothy, he says, are servants of Christ Jesus. And this word servant that we translate here into English today is the same kind of idea as the household slave of Paul's time. So it's someone who voluntarily has given up their rights, has given up sort of their preferences in exchange for obedience to a master. Now, why would anyone do that? We're going to find out throughout this letter. But this is what Paul's saying. Instead of claiming himself as the one Jesus has sent as the apostle, right, to bring the gospel in that way, he's instead proclaiming himself sort of at the bottom of the social structure. That he and Timothy have given up their rights and privileges to follow the rule and reign of God, to proclaim themselves as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. This is what they are saying right away in the beginning of this letter. And then there's some theology and some church structure that he talks about here that you can read. And if you have any questions later, please contact me by email or text or phone call, and we can talk about it. But we're going to move on to the next section, this next slide. And this is where you can really begin to hear the heart of this man, Paul, who's proclaimed himself as a servant, right? As a servant of Christ, and therefore as a servant of the people that he's writing to. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We could hang right here for a couple of weeks and just unpack the depth of what Paul is communicating. And I just want to point something out to you. Remember, I want you to enjoy Paul, and I want you to see already this guy who this season of his life, he's been traveling all over the known world, bringing the good news, bringing the gospel, teaching people how to live as citizens of the kingdom. And the first thing that he's saying is that he prays for them all the time. And when he prays for them, he prays with joy. He prays with joy because of this partnership in the gospel. Now, there's a couple of things I want to unpack. We're going to talk about joy a few times in this letter because I think it shows up in one form or another about 16 times. It's a very, very joyful letter. And we'll see in the circumstances of Paul here that joy isn't happiness. In fact, it's kind of an opposite from that perspective. It's sort of independent of his circumstances. He's writing this from prison, right? He's been beaten. He's been tortured. He's not free to come and go as he pleases, and yet he has joy. And as we look at Paul, as he describes his circumstances, as he describes his life here, we get a sense of what joy is. He sees the bigger picture. He sort of sees the end from the beginning. He knows that what he's going through right now isn't the end, and he knows that there's a bigger story that he's a part of. And that story includes him being found in the kingdom of heaven. It includes him being in the presence of Jesus. And for him, that matters more than what he's going through. Now, we can spend probably a month of time just talking about that, what it looks like for you and me, because these are the things that we deal with, right? Sometimes our circumstances aren't very good. Paul, in his letter, unpacks how there's something else, there's something beyond, there's something bigger, there's something more than our circumstances. He's going to reinforce that again and again as we go through here. Now, in this particular section, he says he has this joy, right? This absolute certainty of God's story, absolute certainty of what's going to happen, a confidence in the kingdom. He is praying with that joy because of the partnership that the Philippians have with him in the gospel. Now, this word partnership that we have here, how many of you have heard this word koinonia before? It's a Greek word, but it's kind of been thrown around church world for a while. And we tend to think of it or use it as just fellowship. Let me have koinonia with you. But that is sort of a weakening of what the word actually means. It's almost like a business term. It's a partnership, right? It's this sense that there's a common possession, a common project, a common business that they are involved in together. So Paul is saying, I have such gratitude and joy because of our partnership in the family business. That is a profound statement. And I know I've already used this phrase. If you don't get anything else today, get this. Get this. We are partners in the family business. And that business is the gospel, the good news. Now, this sense of partnership in the family business, it's an active involvement, right? It's not a passive thing. You saw in the overview, there was financial gifts given. There was a person sent in support. There's practical expressions of the good news being seen here. And so Paul is saying right away in this letter, man, I am so filled with joy. You have propelled me beyond my circumstances because of your partnership with me in the family business, because of the certainty that we have together in God's kingdom come and the restoration that we will receive. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Being confident of this, that he who has begun the work in us, this redeeming and restoring work in us, God himself, through Jesus Christ, he will complete it. We will be restored. So it's not just that you and I are in partnership in the family business. It's that you and I are in partnership with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the family business. This is the power of Paul's language here, right away in the first few sentences of his letter. Can you hear in the sound of my voice just a glimpse of what Paul's heart must feel like as he writes these words? Confident. And the grammar there is one that he has done the work, he is doing the work, he will do the work until it's done. So it captures and it grabs all of our attention because you and I, each one of us, are in a different space. God is doing some level of work in each of us. I just love this text. Paul's confidence, not just beyond his circumstances, not just in his partnership with his friends in Philippi, but also with the Father himself. I want to ask you a question. What does it mean for us to share the gospel as a common possession? What does it mean for the gospel to be our family business? And I want you to reply. I want you to have an opinion and an idea. I'll take a drink while you think. What does it mean to possess something? Do we use this word anymore in our language? Do you have possessions? To take ownership? To have ownership, what else? To share in the responsibility. So we have shared ownership and shared responsibility. What else? To improve the bottom line. See, the business, right? Spoken like a businessman. To improve the bottom line, to see improvement, to see the gains, right? Every business is started because there's a problem or there's a need that needs to be solved or a need that needs to be filled, and smart business folks figure out a way to fill that need, figure out a way to solve that problem, and then they sell it, right? That's how it works. We enter into the family business together, and we see the people around us. Look around you right now. Just take a scan. Put your head on a swivel. Our business partners. Our business partners. This is what Paul calls us. We're business partners. Now, what does it mean for us to be actively involved in the family business, the gospel? What does it mean for us as business partners to be actively, this is this partnership idea, to be actively involved? What does it mean for you and me? Gordon. To talk about him, to share his word, right? To tell other people about what he's saying. What else? What's that? Okay, it's what we're focused on. We're actively involved in it because we're focused on it. It takes focus to be actively involved in something. What else? Oh, I like it. Not just for other folks, not just talking about them, it's about us too. Be actively involved means we have to live the gospel. We have to be good news too, increasingly more and more. An active partnership, you're not doing it by yourself. So we're actively engaged with others. How many of you love that idea? All right, a couple extroverts in the room, maybe just me. It's tough. I mean, we struggle with what's good news for ourselves in any given moment. I mean, take the example of Paul. He's been in prison. He is in prison. He's suffered. He's struggled. And yet he still proclaims that he has joy because other people, his partners, are actively engaged in this kingdom life with him. So our part is to live it more and more. Our part is to take a hold of it, take possession of it more and more. And it is the good news. It is the gospel. And you and I can agree that the gospel is, you know, any number of what the creeds, the historic church creeds say, right? That Jesus is the Son of God. He became flesh. He took our place, right? He paid it all, the song we just sang, and he died, and then he rose again and conquered death. This is the gospel. But for you and I, circumstantially, every day, in the moments of our lives, in between the spaces of our relationships, we need good news that's contextual. What does it look like? What does it mean for you to live the good news in your life right now? I'm laid up. I have so many things I should be doing that take all of my body instead of just half of it, and I can't. But I have joy because my family is with me, and I've watched them serve and help and facilitate what needs to be done, and I admire and respect that so much. I have joy in my... There's good news for me right now that you people kind of like me, at least some of you. Right? And you help me. That's good news. That's gospel. That's you being partners in the business. There's two things that I'd like to talk about. And we're going to talk about both of them a lot in this series. One of them is Jesus. I like to talk about Jesus. And I like to talk about you. When I'm in the community, when I'm with my family and my friends, when I'm hanging out with other pastors and church leaders, I brag about you all the time. Because you live the good news. Because you make it a part of your life. And I get to see that. And we get to see that in each other. That's why the family potlucks are so much fun, because we get together as a community of people who get in little bits and pieces, not fully, but we understand more and more together than we ever did apart what the good news is. And how to partner in the family business. We immerse ourselves in it. We take hold of it. We partner with our brothers and sisters in it. That's our part. And God, the one who is faithful to complete it, does that work. So here for me, God's got a long way to go with me. Maybe he does with you too. But the good work, the redeeming, renewing, and restoring work of our Father that he's begun in you and in me, he's still doing it. Even in the midst of circumstances that we don't enjoy, he is still doing the work. All right, let's continue, because I can just brag about him all day. Let's go to the next section. Here he is, Paul saying, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. I just said that about you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." God himself can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. God only knows is sort of the meaning of that. God himself can test. God only knows. Paul is writing this to this faith community we call a church in this place that is sort of at the crossroads of the world right then. Paul is proclaiming over and over and over again how confident he is in God's work and how much joy he has in the partnership, in the family business that he has with these people. It is right for him to talk about it because they've demonstrated it time and time again. It's right for me to brag about you because you demonstrate your partnership in the family business time and time again, not just towards me, but towards others in this community. Our fifth Sunday offerings, the way that I've watched you assist one another when you're struggling. God only knows, because Paul's in prison, he's away from then. God only knows how I long for you. You starting to like Paul a little bit? Move on to the next slide, please. Here's Paul praying again. Sort of this is Paul, this word interceding, right? He's praying for something to come about in this people that he's writing the letter to, right? His brothers and sisters in Philippi. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. One more slide. And may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Praise that the depth of love and intimacy with Jesus will increase more and more. He's acknowledging that it's there. You have some understanding. You have some knowledge. You have some relationship to Jesus. And he's praying that there would be more and more. That there would continue till overflowing is this sense, this idea. That the depth of love and intimacy with Jesus would lead them to being the people, the best kind of people, would lead them to be the people that make the best kind of choices, right? People that are together in the family business, living it together and living it for the sake of others around them. And their discernment and fruitfulness is based on this love and understanding of Christ. And we use this word understanding, and we think about it as kind of like an academic understanding, right? In my mind, I can understand what you're saying, but this word here is really more about intimacy, about a knowing. Not a knowing about, but a knowing. So Pastor Paul's writing this to his friends in Philippi, and it echoes through the years to you and to me that the fruitfulness of our lives, our bottom line in the family business, if you will, comes from knowing about and knowing Jesus more and more and growing in our capacity to love like he loves. Growing in our capacity to see our circumstances as like this big in the face of the whole story of what God is up to. So that we may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Fruitful. Partnering together in the family business. Seeing the fruit of righteousness. Growing more and more in our existence, right? Paul will talk about fruit of the Spirit later in another letter to another group of people. Love. We talk a lot about love here. It's kind of the point. Love. Joy. There it is. Peace. Wholeness. Patience. Goodness. Gentleness. faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of life in the kingdom, proceeding from you and from me, partners in the family business. I've been on a lot of teams in my life. It's how I come to have 2 surgeries in 5 weeks, mostly. And I never feel more alive than when I'm on a team, when I see my partners contributing what it is that they're made to contribute in those moments. And I want us to step back, 5 stones. I want you to see yourselves not just as citizens of the kingdom, not just as people that your pastor loves, not just as people your pastor admires, but as teammates. And not just as we sit in this room, but as you sit around the dinner table, husbands and wives, partners in the family business, living the good news for yourselves and for each other, parents and children, partners in the family business, neighbors and neighbors, partners in the family business, actively involved. In this part of his letter, he says, we just immerse ourselves in it. Right? We just live it. We just take a hold of it. But God himself, the one who started all of this, he's faithful to complete it. We can have confidence in that. And from that, we have joy. One through 11, Philippians. He starts off by proclaiming himself at the bottom of the order, a servant, making an example of himself as one who has given up his preferences, even his rights, to have obedience to his king and master. And all of that so he can take a hold of and be a good partner in the family business. I'm going to invite the band back up. And as they come up, I want you to hear again the joy, the confidence, the certainty that Paul has, regardless of his circumstances, writing from prison. But even in the prison, family business is still going on. And we're going to read some more about that as we go through this text. I encourage you, whether you follow the structure that we've suggested in the page that we handed out. By the way, if you didn't get one, if there are more, they're probably on the welcome table, and if our greeter can, yep, there's more. So on the way out, Greg, can you just kind of wave our brother Greg over there? If you want to grab one of those pages, he will hand it to you on your way out. Read it. Read the letter. Immerse yourself in it, and along the way over the next few weeks, we're going to see more and more how crazy beautiful and awesome this family business is. We're going to get to brag on Jesus and each other a whole lot in this series. Let me pray.